Now for the sermonette this afternoon, one who I'm sure you all know, at least you're very familiar with the many articles that he's written in the Plain Truth magazine, if you've not been here before or known him otherwise, Mr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Very good to be up here today and see that many of you come from all parts of the United States to this festival. It's a very wonderful sight, and I know that year by year we're going to have many hundreds and perhaps thousands of others join us. We just got through singing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And yet I think a lot of us don't fully realize what we're singing when we sing those words. Is God real to you, or do you ever have doubts about God? Is the knowledge of His church real to you? Is the knowledge of His laws and His holy days real? Or does that seem a little bit vague, a little bit indefinite as well? Nearly all people, especially when they're first converted, have doubts about God. They have doubts about the fact that He has His church and there's only one church on the face of the earth. They have many questionings that come to their mind, and they, a lot of times, look at small things, little bitty things that get in their way. But they forget to look at the really big things in life, the really big proofs of the existence of God, of the existence of the church that Jesus Christ built. After that time, He said, "I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And questions come in their minds about that because of little misunderstandings, little things that they think are discrepancies in teaching, something personal that they don't always fully understand. They even get to the place that they doubt there is an almighty God in heaven that is upholding this universe and that is guiding His church day by day and year by year. And of course, they naturally tend to doubt at times if they're just newly interested in God's truth, certain doctrines such as the holy days, which seem a little bit unclear. Well, now one of the big things you ought to get your mind on to fully realize God, to understand Him, and to clear up your mind of all doubts, of all discrepancies, is the fact that God is foretelling day by day, month by month, year by year, exact, definite, specific things in your life that are going to affect you and this whole nation, and that are affecting this whole nation right here and now. And all I want to do today is to call your attention to some of those things very briefly. You've read them in our articles in the Plain Truth magazine. You've heard Mr. Armstrong, you've heard Mr. Ted Armstrong speak of them over the radio for years and years now. A lot of you, like my uncle Dr. Meredith, may have heard Mr. Armstrong clear back since he was up in Eugene, Oregon, about 1943, 1944 back there, when he was saying, and I remember my uncle telling me then, that Mr. Armstrong was saying that Russia, the Soviet Union, would eventually conquer all the Orient, would take over the most heavily populated area of this entire earth. And yet no one else thought a thing like that could happen back at that time. But he was saying that then, and he knew that was so in the Bible. Since then, other technical points have come to mind, and we understand them. Day by day, year by year, God's church is the only church on the face of this earth that's making those things plain. Let's review very quickly, if you would, a couple of prophecies that I think we do understand more clearly. We've had articles about them. I don't need to go through all the proofs. But back in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, where God said He would bless His people for obedience, and then in the latter halves of both those chapters, He begins to give definite, specific punishment that will fall on His people if they sin in 1, 2, 3, 4, definite, specific order, in a way that no man, no church, no group of men could possibly understand, unless it were revealed by an almighty God who is one individual person, not just an idea in men's minds, not just a board of men getting together to decide what they believed according to human reason, but unless it were given and revealed by a supreme creator in heaven and earth who foretells the end from the beginning. Back in Leviticus 26, starting in verse 15, God says, "If you despise My statutes and abhor My judgment, so that you'll not do all my commandments, but break my covenant. And then he says we're going to have terror, consumption, or tuberculosis, various diseases that will weaken the eyes. We'll have wars that will cause our children to begin to be increasingly slain in warfare, taken captive. Part of our Israelitish lands will be overrun, as has taken place over in Europe in World War I and World War II. Then he says that he's going to send famine here, starting in verse 18. He'll break the pride of our power. For the first time, as we found in 1951, the pride of the power of Great Britain and the United States began to be broken. And we have won our last war, as you've heard Mr. Armstrong say many, many times, the very last one. And now we have to make compromises. And compromise is a very prominent word we hear in regard to our international relations. We're not like Teddy Roosevelt anymore, speaking softly and carrying a big stick and ready for action. We have to have a lot of words, and then we back off and change our minds and we compromise. Since that time, then, God says, after 7 years of this, he'll send plagues on us. 7 years of breaking our pride of our power and making our heaven as iron and our earth as brass through drought. And other prophecies in Amos and elsewhere show they're going to be alternating floods throughout our lands at the same time. Drought in one section, floods in another. After 7 years of that, starting in verse 21, he says, I'll send you plagues, disease epidemics. And those epidemics are apparently beginning right now for 7 years. The wild animals are going to turn against us also. We find that wild animals are becoming rabid and come in and bite the tame pets. There are increasing signs of insect plagues that may be on the way. There is a great fire ant invasion down in the southeastern part of the United States that's destroying hundreds of thousands of acres of precious farmland. Many things like that happening. Then he says in verse 24, he'll send seven times more punishments after seven more years if we still don't obey, and how we'll be gathered together in our cities for fear, and you turn over in Deuteronomy 28, the parallel chapter here, and it shows you that at that time, the stranger or the Gentile, that is the carnal, unconverted, Negro, Mexican, Chinese, Japanese, and the other Gentiles in our midst are going to rise up. They shall get up above thee very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. God says these things are going to happen, race riots, and that the foreign nations whom we've always had over a barrel, so to speak, because we've controlled the gates of our enemies, we've controlled the Suez up till now, those gates are beginning to be taken away, you see, we've controlled the Panama Canal and still do. How many more years till we lose Panama? Well, I can tell you it won't be too many, maybe 6 or 8 or 10, but before 15 more years, undoubtedly, the Panama Canal will be taken away from the United States. Then we'll have to sail clear around South America at extra expense. And then they'll control the area around there with their ships. We will no longer control it with our ships, and it'll be trade embargoes. And then he shows that after 7 years of that, we're going to be punished. We're going to be conquered by a foreign conqueror that Mr. Armstrong has definitely described as the 10-nation union in Europe, clear back since the plain truth of January of 1934. And back in 1934, he's been writing about that to listeners all over the United States. A United States of Europe, probably dominated by Germany, and we're going to be conquered by them and taken slaves, as God goes on to describe here. Are those things definite? Are those things specific? Are these things beginning to happen? Well, you know, as you read about this Asian flu and all these other various types of epidemics that are coming up, I think it ought to cause a lot of you to begin to realize that they are real. They're not far off. They're not way off here in the corner somewhere. They're right here and they're right now. In our lifetime, they're affecting us right in this nation. Are you going to run off in a corner and hide from them or what? Well, I think most of you aren't, because you're here, so I'm not bawling you out, but I think you need to know. You need to realize more fully than perhaps you do how real these things are, that God is at the control. He's turning the knobs right now in this nation. Not so long ago, a man that we love very much around the college, our interior decorator, who is not a member of the church, died of this Asian flu. I've heard of some other. I've just finished visiting my parents and some relatives up in Missouri. I heard about many others up there who died of the Asian flu that they knew about. But the funny thing of it is, they're not releasing all these reports of people who are dying. They're kind of keeping it down. They're trying to keep the public from getting too excited about it. They don't want them to get all worked up about that. They don't want them to get excited, you see, so they don't tell you how many people are dying of these things in many cases. We're beginning to have race troubles in all our big cities. Mr. Dean Blackwell, the former pastor of the Chicago church, was telling us how in that city, the telephone linemen don't go out one by one or two by two anymore. If two men are needed for the job, they send out six or eight, and the others just stand around conveniently with wrenches and screwdrivers in their hands, just in case, you know, just in case anything arises, because it's dangerous in many areas of that city. I have just seen, yesterday afternoon, Central High School in Little Rock, right here in the United States. I saw Jeeps patrolling all around that high school. I saw soldiers there on a peaceful afternoon in the United States with submachine guns pointing out at me and my car as we circled that place in this democratic, peaceful United States of America. I saw over 100 soldiers out there in Jeeps and guns, carrying guns all around that place. And a filling station operator nearby told my wife and uncle, Dr. Meredith and I, who were there, that they have over 50 armed, bayoneted National Guardsmen inside of the school building itself. Yes, God says we're going to have troubles. Only once before have we had civil war in this land. That was over the Negro problem. That was over the race problem. Now we're about to have it again for the same reason. Do we think that's real, or is that way off somewhere? God says it's going to happen. What do we think? I just want you to realize that this is God's church. These things are happening. This is the only church, the only place on the face of this earth where these things are being proclaimed. This is your life. You know, many of you may have seen, as I have, the new big extravaganza movie out called The Ten Commandments in CinemaScope and one thing and the other, Technicolor. I saw it not too long ago. Has a lot of good points. Has a lot of bad points, too. They twist up a lot of things in the Bible, for instance. But they do show the power of God. But as God began to plague the Egyptians and kill the firstborn, instead of having the death angel do that, they had a green pall, sort of a smoke, sifting out there to do it, instead of the death angel. They had that all twisted up. Some of us out there, and I heard some radio announcers were joking about it, it's like the Los Angeles smog, you know, creeping up the valleys. You never know when it'll get you. But they had that twisted up, and nevertheless, they showed the power of God. They showed how this huge nation, many hundreds of thousands of people, went down into this great chasm where the waters were up on either side, higher than this tabernacle is above our heads. And God caused the land there to be perfectly dry, and they walked through because they trusted God. God withheld those waters. God delivered His people from that time of trial, just as He has promised in like manner to deliver us. And finally, it showed the Pharaoh coming back, which is also a false thing because the Pharaoh was killed too, as the Bible shows. You look it up in one of the Psalms. But it showed the Pharaoh driving back into his palace, and Moses was there to greet him. Moses had told him what was going to happen. He'd warned him about this. The Pharaoh came back, and he was all disgusted, and his wife, one of these modern women, I don't know if they had women like back there. Hollywood had her there, though, at the time, you know. And she began to henpeck her husband and bawl him out and make fun of him for going out there and losing all of his armies. Well, he sort of told her off, and he ended up by saying, he said he'd been denying this God of Moses now, this silly God, this God who wasn't anything, and finally now he said, Moses' God is God. And I think that's something we ought to realize. Our God isn't a sentimental thing. He isn't a nice old fellow who's gone way off. Our God is God. He is on the job, and His Word is going out in power. And when His Word goes out, God stands behind that Word, and He brings it about exactly and specifically as He has foretold and is foretelling through His church. the only church, the only organization, the only organism, the spiritual organism on the face of this earth that's prophesying these things to you. Foretelling these very times in Mark the 13th chapter, Jesus Christ said, and starting in verse 28, he'd been foretelling these times of war and trouble and famine. He said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the door." It isn't way off somewhere. It's here, and it's right now, not way off. "Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be done." Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Brethren, this is the age in which God, His Word, His church, ought to be doubly real, because His Word is taking effect day by day and year by year. His church, this church, is the only organism on the face of this earth telling you of these things, definitely and specifically. The events prophesied by God in His Word and preached around the world by His church are affecting and will affect your life. They're doing it right now, and they will affect it, day by day, year by year. So you need to understand and realize more fully the great purpose behind your being in this festival and assembly of God's people that God Almighty, the living God, has commanded. Understand that you are in the presence of the living God. Our God is God.
This recording has been brought to you by BibleStudy.org, who did the time-consuming work of reclaiming the message.